Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday Reflection. I'm the Reverend Jacqueline Sheldon from St. Paul's Church in Willimantic at 220 Valley Street, and I am overjoyed to be with you and God as we reflect on this third Sunday in Lent. Let's begin with a prayer. Bring us light, beloved. Bring us light. As we humbly ask for your light, we are asking to know what you know, good, bad, up, down, all of it. Please let us know ourselves the way the Holy Spirit knows us, for the Spirit searches the depths of everything, even the depths of God. Help us to accept your illumination and not be afraid of what we will see. Shed light on our routines and habits. Help us to see the good habits that they may grow stronger. Help us to see the habits we are holding on to tightly to that are causing us to lose our freedom in you. Make us ready to accept what you show us and receive your healing grace. Amen. Our gospel reading from the third Sunday in Lent comes from John's gospel, the second chapter, the 13th through the 22nd verses. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Our gospel reading for the third Sunday of Lent is the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. This report is in all four Gospels. What they all report is that Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem during the season of Passover and drove out the people selling sacrificial animals and the money changers so that his Father's house would not be made into a marketplace but remain a house of prayer. There are not many events that are reported in all four Gospels, so when this happens, it's important for us to pay close attention. Our story today comes from the second chapter of John's Gospel. This is a very different placement than it is in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. They all put Jesus' fiery cleansing of the temple very close to the time of his death. They imply that this huge action is what finally pushed the officials to the decision to have him killed. But John's gospel is very different. John has Jesus making his whip of cords and driving everyone out of the temple, sheep, cattle, all sacrificial animal sellers, and the money changers at the very beginning of his ministry. Why this big difference in timing? Many people have debated this for a long time. I don't have an answer, but I would like to suggest a thought that can be helpful to us as we move into our third week of Lenten desert travel with Jesus. John's gospel is very different than the other three. He begins by wanting us to see the power of Jesus' spiritual presence in our lives. In this story, Jesus claims that if they destroy this temple in 3 days, he will raise it. John is showing us that after Jesus' death, his action in the temple will become clear. And it does become clear that loving and serving God is all about heart and intention and not about place and practice. So with this in mind, let's see what the story might tell us about our Lenten journey. According to religious practices in those days, the sacrifice of animals at the temple was extremely important to celebrate acts of thanksgiving and also to offer repentance. You might go to the temple to sacrifice an animal in thanksgiving to God for some blessing that had come in your life, or you might sacrifice an animal to God as a sign of your repentance for a sin you committed. Also, because the temple was God's holy place, you had to give donations in God's money, not in coinage with the emperor's image on it. Back then, the emperor claimed to be God. Your everyday money had to be exchanged to give at the temple. The activity of changing money and buying sacrificial animals was not unreasonable. So why would Jesus react in the way that he did? The temple in Jerusalem in Jesus' day was very large It was the most impressive structure in all of the region. There were at least four courtyards before you reached the Holy of Holies, and each courtyard allowed for different activities and people to enter. The farther out you were, the less sacred the activities, and the closer in, the more holy and the less people allowed. Where Jesus was driving everyone out was in the outer courtyard, where the least holy activities were acceptable and the most people were present. Think of it like the parking lot of the church or the synagogue. Given this information, it appears that the activity that was necessary was being done in a place that was appropriate. So what could Jesus's reaction be all about? In the first Passover, the people's lives were very different than the lives of the people at the temple when Jesus overturned the tables and drove out the animals. The Israelites that were set free from Egypt had to sacrifice a lamb that night and put the blood over the top of their door so that the angel of death would pass over them and strike only the Egyptians. And in the chaos, they fled. Free from their oppressors, every year they observed the holiday of Passover, which celebrated their exodus from Egypt when they, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were liberated from slavery and became a new and unique nation under God. This Passover celebration is celebrated to this very day, but times change and people's lives change. When Jesus entered the temple during the season of Passover, he had in mind God's desire for a deeply intimate relationship with his children, no matter what age they lived in. The Son of God was straining with every part of his being to call God's children back into proper relationship with God, as it says in Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." What happened? What caused Jesus to react in such a dramatic fashion? All I can think of is how time changes, but our relationship with God doesn't. Imagine, for a moment with me, meat wrapped in plastic in the grocery store. In our day, life has come so far that out of convenience, we have no relationship to the animals we are bringing home from the store to eat. In Jesus' time, the selling of the sacrificial animals and the changing of the money in order to worship God had developed into the same kind of convenience as we have in our grocery stores today. There was no true sense of sacrifice to God. They did not raise their own animals anymore. They did not have to bring their precious gift to the temple. The sincere effort necessary to show God their love and reverence had been replaced by human industry. Imagine the Son of God coming and proclaiming with all of his heart the necessity for sacrificing everything to God, witnessing this scene. From the very first Passover, the Israelites, the children of God, freed from their oppressors, walked in intimate relationship with their God. And the way that they lived, the way they raised animals, the way they ate food, the way they understood sacrifice and sin and blessing, all of those ideas were related to their human habits and patterns. And times have changed and things are different. And we must change our ways of being intimate with God and letting go of old habits in order to find new ways to bring forth our intimate relationships. And just as the Israelites had to change in that shocking moment at the temple, so as Christ followers, we receive our deliverance in our baptism from the oppression of confusion and brokenness, and we are called to walk in intimate ways with our God as well. And life changes for us as well, and habits must change. When things that we're doing are bound up in ritual and routine, and we lose distance with God, those things must be broken away from, and we must open up to new ways of understanding God and new ways of understanding how we love one another. Throughout their time in the desert, the Israelites had to rely completely on God for everything and continually have their minds open to the way God called them to live. Jesus shows us that as Christ followers, we must understand that nothing has changed from those desert times and that we must be open to God and we must completely rely on God for everything, including understanding how to express our relationship in the deepest ways. Notice that Jesus is revealing the error of the Israelites' ways. He is showing them that they can no longer practice the things that they practiced before. God is calling them to a new way. The physical temple might be destroyed, but the holy temple between God and us through Jesus will never be destroyed. He shows them this in the least holy section of the temple, and this is just where he seeks to reveal the errors of our ways today. In our most everyday everyday places where, just like the Israelites, we're just trying to do the best we can. Just like in the temple, he wants to shake things up and show us where we have lost our connections. We have to be open and not afraid to see the truth. Just like back then, we think we can find good ways to take care of everything and still honor God. We forget what it means to rely on God with gratitude and truly humble hearts that he might show us the best way to go. Even to this day, Jesus is driving out all the human scheming and planning and all the human control so that we can learn to walk humbly with our God. So it is in this third week of Lent that Christ comes to shake things up in us, to show us where our habits have taken us away from the love of God, to show us the things that need to change to bring us to a truly humble place of trusting in God for everything, to show us the way to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So let's close with a song from Stephen Curtis Chapman about walking humbly with our God. Peace to you during this third week in desert travel of Lent.
To understand, we hate in turns, we never learn. An eye for an eye leaves both blind, a pound of flesh for an ounce of crime, and no one wins. The wheel just spins. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Without strain, when grace is real, we all can heal. When we forgive another's debt, we free ourselves to love, and yet we honor those we miss the most. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Love mercy and walk humbly.